Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There we go.
Go ahead, Jimbo. Get us started.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host, Glenn Martin. And we are here to discuss the Liars Luncheon, the pre-draft press conference, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But the Baltimore Ravens, the front office, that being Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh, talked about all things draft. Today, some we can believe, some we can't. We're here to break it down, give our reaction to all that information, talk about draft strategy from our point of view based on what we learned today and more. So I'm excited to talk about it, Glenn. Yeah. How you doing, my man? Having a nice evening on a Tuesday night?
Dude, how pretty was this weather, dude? Crazy, right? Like, perfect day. Mark Anthony missed you, as did I. as did I. You were sorely missed in our last episode, and thanks again to DraftPlex for filling admirably. But yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful day in Baltimore. The Orioles got a win in Baltimore North, as we call it. Some people call it Fenway Park. We call it Baltimore North. got that dub knocked out of the way this afternoon. So yeah, it's an exciting time. That it's interesting that I feel like every year the Liars Luncheon or pre-draft press conference has gotten shorter. And there's also less participants. Like, do you remember every year we saw Bisciotti do his once a year State of the Ravens? That's gone. He hasn't done that in many years. And even this year,
didn't he kind of do that last year? No, the year before with the Lamar contract situation. And remember how he said Lamar doesn't feel like he deserved a full thing.
Yeah, and since that, I think that was the last time
we heard. They were like, no more for you.
Yeah, like that's it. And so we didn't see a lot from him. And also, we're used to seeing three members sitting at that table with usually the head scout or director of player personnel, I think was his title. Joe Ortiz was typically next to him. So it's just those two sitting at the table, which was a little bit different. Dylan, I appreciate the kind words. Yeah,
of course he did. I had no concerns about that. Kidding me?
Did my best, you know, just trying to hold the ship afloat. But
let me tell you guys something about Glenn. Glenn could have an intriguing conversation with anyone at any time,
very curious,
and from anywhere, as long as they can comprehend each other. And Glenn's good at this. He's a professional, okay? So I have no concerns.
Appreciate that, Jimbo. I'm very curious. I love asking questions.
This is true.
So that certainly helps. But, yeah, I mean, we're here to talk about the Liars Luncheon, as it's been called by the media for many years. But I guess here's where I want to start, Jimbo, because they talked about the offensive line and they talked about how yesterday Eric and the rest of the scouts, and I believe coaches were involved in this as well, spent for the entire day from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. studying just the offensive line, not just because it's such an important position and a position of need, but also because it's so deep this year. You can find quality offensive lineman and really all seven rounds is the way it's been described. But they also talked about Andrew Voorhees, and he was asked his take on him, and he said that he sounded awfully confident that this guy is going to be starting at left guard, at least the way, you know, look, these guys never come out and say anything during this, so you kind of got to read between the lines and read their body language and all that stuff. But he seemed confident that left guard, at least whether it's Voorhees or a combination of him and others, it seems like left guard isn't the biggest concern. So are we overstating the need to fill three positions through this draft, or are we maybe kind of overlooking some guys in house, and maybe it's not three positions that need filled? What do you think?
I think the same thing you think. We are not overstating this. I've talked about this, and like the optimistic side of me says, well, maybe Falele, but like and maybe Voorhees. Mm-hmm. Gosh dang it, those are too big of maybes for me to like just be like, it's okay, guys. You know, yeah, we'll draft some next year. We just didn't see. If Eric comes on at the end of all these rounds and says, well, our guys did, because he said today about it's just about getting the guys we want that we covet at the places we have to pick. If he gets on there and he says, well, with all 80,000 picks, we didn't get the guys we wanted and then we coveted at the places we got to pick. Mm-hmm. Don't you dare, Eric. Don't you dare. Now, other positions, sure, right? Like, but you've got, and I don't think this will happen, but you've got to pull the trigger and take swings at the offensive line, because I think it's okay. Like, to be honest with you, Glenn, if we go into the season with Falele at right tackle, I'm not super scared. I think the kid has upside. Of the three positions, of the three guys that people are talking about, Cleveland, Falele, and Voorhees, mm-hmm. I feel the most comfortable with Falele because I think he's the best athlete of the three, and I think he's the youngest football player of the three. So for me, he's got the most upside.
He's got the most experience too.
He's got the most starting experience. So I think he's got a lot of growth that he can make as a player. And I don't know. I think Ben Cleveland's like 45 already. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. I don't know what to make of the guard situation either. Like,
but we can't not take swings, right?
Got to take swings. I know that these guys that they drafted, them for a reason. They obviously like these guys. And I do think having a year or 2 years here with the Ravens is beneficial. But I also think that there's holes in their game, and I don't know if time can fill those holes, because like the holes we're talking about in Cleveland's game is like athleticism. Like, is he going to get more athletic?
Right. Yeah. Like, is he going to learn how to move right and left?
Like, I think there's things you can work on, and then there's things that's just the hand you were dealt. And just like Falele, like we talk about, maybe is he carrying a little bit too much weight, and maybe that's affecting, he can lose some weight. Like, that's something you can do. Now, he's just a huge, massive human being, so there is limits of how much weight he can lose. But I don't know if Ben Cleveland can get more fleet of foot in a year or an offseason. Like, I do. I agree with you in some ways.
Right?
Yeah, I do agree with you in some ways that, like, he has the most experience, and I think his issue is the most correctable. I think if he does drop some weight and maybe distribute that weight better through strength training, that maybe he could improve on his initial foot quickness. That's the biggest issue. Can he handle those speed rushers? Can he get back in his set?
Technique, of course.
Yeah, but technique, you can develop that
forever, right? Till your last rep in the league.
Certainly. So I tend to agree with you in a lot of ways, but something tells me they're looking for a guy to play right tackle this year to transition to left tackle next year when Ronnie Stanley's gone. That's the way I'm looking at it.
If you can knock down two birds with one stone,
right?
Yeah, even better, man.
That's the way I'm kind of looking. But I don't know, man. He just seemed very, like, he talked about how the strength team was super. And why would they not love Andrew Voorhees when you see him put up 38 reps with a blown out knee? Like, he's probably so fun to have in the building because he just seems like he loves football and loves.
I just hope he can stay healthy for his own sake.
He's hurt, dude. He was always hurt in college.
You know, and then the other thing you have to consider, I'm not knocking Voorhees' game. You have to consider, we talked about this. Remember Ronnie Stanley's best year, like, was with Lamar 19. In 2019? Mm-hmm. Like, how much did Caleb Williams play a role in his good tape? It's worth considering, like, thinking about, right? Like, he was playing offensive line for a quarterback that is going to be the number one pick this year.
I understand.
I'm not knocking Voorhees. I loved the pick. I just, what I'm trying to say in painting this picture is that we need, John talked about it, we need true competition at the position.
Yeah.
We need it. It's too early to be penciling these guys in at the guard spot. Like, I'm okay if we pencil in Falele, but please don't pencil in these guys yet. Let them compete. Let them win the job.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a good. And look, if you needed an offensive line, a lineman, what better year than to need it than this year when apparently, like, I can't remember a draft where they've talked about the quality of this offensive line class. Like,
dude, can I tell you something though, Glenn? I agree with you, but one of the things that was frustrating today with the questions, if anybody in the press watches, I mean, obviously we know a lot of you guys, and hopefully we'll be able to have you on so I can ask you this. Why didn't anyone ask? One of the first things we asked DraftPlex, which I would want to ask Eric when the first time DraftPlex came on this year was, is how many draftable tackles do you see in the first round? Why couldn't you ask Eric, how many tackles do you see are draftable in the first half of the draft? How many, you know, because you talked about depth, like, can we get any numbers? You know what I mean? So Eric, to that point, Sarah Ellison just tweeted out, a little bit of a summary. Eric DaCosta said the draft has a deep pool of offensive linemen. The draft will be a big factor rebuilding the O-line. He said they spent the whole day yesterday, just kind of like you were talking about, Glenn, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. studying the O-line because it is so deep. Mm-hmm. But, like, can we get some numbers? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many guys do you see as first-round guys for tackle? How many tackles do you like in the later rounds? Like, he has those numbers, and I don't think he would not give them out. He would probably say in the 8 to 10 range, in the 10 to 12 range.
Yeah. But
that's something, because then we can take the information that's out there and say, okay, these are the 10 to 12 most likely, right? Like,
yeah.
Maybe that's why he's not doing it, because then we can do that, right?
Yeah, but he could all. It's called the liar's luncheon for a reason. He could really say whatever he wants, and we could interpret it as a lie or as truth. And he could be doing either. He's done that in the past. He certainly put smoke screens up in the past and talked about it. So
yeah.
No, I would have liked to hear more direct questions, but it would have probably gotten the politician answer.
Now the other thing I got to say too, Glenn, about this is I just want to jump forward. I know we're going to get back to way other stuff, but chronologically, John at the end. I felt like I'm so glad with what he said when he went on his soapbox. And at the end, he said, we're going to have a heck of a football team.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because everybody was being so pessimistic. Like, oh, how are you going to be better than the year before? How are you going to make up for all these guys? How this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And like, gosh, dang it. I loved it. And that's exactly what makes John a coach. Like, that's exactly what makes him a competitor. In my opinion, that's what makes him an elite level competitor in comparison to an article writer. No knock on guys that write articles, but like, he's in the room every day. His job is to compete. Mm-hmm. And he was sick and tired of these guys being pessimistic about his team. And I love that he stood up for his squad, his ability to his coaching staff, their ability to, you know, to put a team together, that it's not just mathematics, that like, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you got to suit up and get out on the field and play football.
No doubt.
Right. So I don't know. I love that. Like, that got my engine revved up. You know what I mean? I got the goosebumps.
Yeah.
I was super happy to do that, because I kind of felt the same. I was like, dude, can we put some positivity in this thing? You know what I mean? We still got a lot of good pieces.
Yeah, but, and it seems like that every year, right? Like, people are going, well, look at this team did. Look what that team did. And the Ravens typically stay, you know, pretty quiet in the early parts of free agency. And there's the quote right there from John. He said, We're going to have a heck of a team this year. You wait. You watch. And, yeah, I agree with him. I absolutely agree. It's not – who is it? I think it was John or Eric who talked about, again, the games aren't played in May. They're not played – like, we have so much longer. And they talked about all the key pieces like Darby and Clowney and Van Noy that came in way, way after the draft. Like, some after the season even started. So, let's not get too crazy by acting like the Ravens are falling so far behind their competitors when there's still a long, long offseason left to go ahead.
This needs to be a shirt, just the you watch part. Because didn't
Derrick this Henry, will be a shirt. You're right.
Yeah. Didn't Derrick Henry kind of have the same response when they were like, remember they were talking about he's getting older and, you know, he's going to a different team and this, that, and the other. And he was like, just watch.
Yeah.
Or something like that. He said, like, keep watching or something. But yeah, this totally needs to be a shirt.
Yeah, yeah, I like it. And you know, he always likes to turn quotes into shirts, so it probably will become a shirt.
Dude, but I will have no I've made it if John Harbaugh ever puts a quote I produce on a shirt. Dude, you know how much?
Dude, you'd be so hyped.
So hyped, dude. I'm going to sit and just keep writing quotes in a book till I find one that's John Harbaugh worthy and somehow put it in his hand.
Just slip it to him, dude.
Yeah.
Slip it to him in the autograph line at camp. But I also want to get your take. Eric DaCosta was asked about the decision to pick up the fifth-year option on both Adafe Owe and Rashad Bateman. and he basically kicked the can down the road. He said, we're a month away from having to make that decision. That's when I'll make that decision. And really didn't expand much on that. So, I mean, what's your gut telling you about the fifth year between both those guys, Adafe and Rashad Bateman? Do you right now? I see them as one or the other as a guarantee, or do you see them both as still up in the air?
I think they're both still up in the air, right?
And what could a month change other than, I mean, the draft will happen. And so maybe.
Well, that's what I think it is. Absolutely what I think it is, right? Because then you see a bit more of a projection of what you have moving forward. And you're like, all right, yeah, maybe we're going to be paying these guys a little more, but it's going to be better than what we can bring in, right? Or it's going to be better than what we have brought in. But yeah, I think it's smart to let the chips fall and then make that decision, not preemptively make that. Now, different scenarios for different players, but these guys that are kind of on the bubble, right?
What would you do? If you're Eric DaCosta, I'll start with Adafe. What's your thoughts? Because look, we talk about he's a young player, right? We talked about how new he was to football.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt that he's gotten better since
he has. So the one thing that I need to make sure, I'm 99.9% sure the way I understand this works. They have the deadline to pick up the option, and they have to either pick it up or reject it by now. And so if they don't, then he plays, both of them play their fourth year, but they can still work out a deal.
Yeah.
It's not like he's automatically hitting free agency, right? Like, it's just as if they were a second, third, fourth, fifth round. They just don't have the fifth year.
Right.
They don't have the fifth year pickup. So for me, I think you let them both play.
Wow.
I think you have to, only because Bateman, because of the injuries. Odafe a bit because of the injuries too, but also because I agree with you where we've seen Odafe put it together, but then boom, you know, he's out for four games. He's out for six games. He's out for... So I think you have to let him put it together. What do you think?
Ooh, it's a tough one, because if he does put it together and you choose to not pick up that fifth year option, it's going to be more expensive if you do want to keep him around. So that's the kind of risk reward there, because if he has that
nice
breakout,
reward.
Yeah, if he has that,
I mean, if you're willing to pay it, right?
Wait, because what if he has the Metabike breakout season where he puts up 15 sacks and all of a sudden he's going,
Glenn, what if I grow to 6 foot? Like, what are we talking about here?
Come on now. It's not impossible for Adafe to have a breakout season.
No, a breakout season, but a Metabike 13 and a half. You know how many microphone covers I'll eat if that happens? 13 and a half.
All right. So you don't, I'm just saying, I mean.
I think he can put it together, though. I agree. Adafe has fundamentally improved his game every year.
Yeah.
And but
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't know, man. I just I don't
know.
I think Bateman,
you've never been an Adafe guy. That's why I love asking you these questions. And
yeah, no.
DK disagrees. He says yes to Adafe and not to Bateman. That's what his thoughts are on the subject.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think we can all agree, is it's not a slam dunk yes for either one of them.
Yeah.
And is that an L for Eric DaCosta?
Yeah. It has to be, right?
It's got to be an L. And when you consider, hold on, was Pat Queen his pick? Was Pat Queen his pick?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another first round pick, did not pick up the fifth year option. So there's a lot of first round picks where they decided not to go with the fifth year option.
I wonder what they learn from the whole PQ experience. I mean, what did they learn from that PQ experience going into this next month to make the decision? That'll be interesting to see as well. So, but it's just hard to pick up that option on, especially Bateman. He's just been so riddled with injuries.
I think Bateman, you definitely got to let him play it out.
Yeah.
Because he's going to no doubt get more of a target share this year. There's just no way around it. And let's see what he does with it. If he picks it up and runs with it, that's one thing. But, the thing I look at wide receiver as a bit different, because we talked about on the show, but I think some of it was we were making assumptions and not really exactly sure. But I did see the graphic today. I believe Warren Sharp put it up on Twitter that the Ravens are number one. Yep, here it is.
Yeah,
most draft capital spent on wide receivers the last 5 years. It's the Ravens number one. So all those who in the chat who are always saying draft receiver, well, You should be happy with what they've been doing the last 5 years because no one's drafted more receivers than the Baltimore Ravens. So with that being said, I think – I don't know if it's – I guess it's definitely not easier, but I think it's more likely that they'll be able to replace Rashad Bateman because they take more swings at wideout, it seems, than they do it at edge. But I don't know. Maybe I'm well,
who's
crazy.
Give me some help here. Who's the last good edge rusher – they've drafted since Terrell Suggs? I'm sure there's been a guy.
Good?
Like Pro Bowl, multiple Pro Bowl. Like Paul Kruger, I can think of, had a good stint that last year and then left. Like, have there been any staples?
I mean, Zadarius went on to have a fantastic career.
That's a good one.
Elsewhere, albeit.
Right. But I think that's probably the best one.
It's probably the best one, and he did most of his work. Matt Judon. Can't forget about Matthew Judon. True. Almost forgot about him.
Judon.
That's a big one.
Big one.
Let's see. Is DK have any? That's those two in the thing here.
Yeah. No, anyway, so I understand what you're saying. Oh, man, it's going to be tough, but what else can you do? I think you got to let him play.
Yeah. And
I think the way you frame it to him is like, hey, look, it's just about health. We just need you guys out there. We believe in you. That's why we drafted you number one overall, but we just need you to go out there and do it. That's it. All you need to do is play like you're capable of doing. I say this to myself all the time, and it's a frustrating saying, but it's also true. All you need to do is what you're capable of doing best ability, right? Like
plenty good enough. Yep.
Yeah. You know, so.
All right. Well, that'd be an interesting decision, but they also talked about that fifth year option and how valuable it is to have that fifth year. Mm-hmm. And they were asked about, look, do you want to trade out of that? And I thought his answer was kind of interesting in that DaCosta basically said that to get us to trade out of the first round, you do have to pay a bit of a premium because that fifth year does matter. And they do want to add draft
picks. That was an absolute signal to the world.
For sure.
If you want 30, don't come lowballing.
Come correct.
I don't know if any of you guys have ever bought a car off Craigslist, but there's always the people that are like, this is the price.
And that's it.
Don't hit me up with a lowball offer. You will not be responded to.
That's right.
You know, that's what Eric just did. He's like, hey, all you other guys, do you want 30? Patriots, if you want 30, no. Yeah, like you said, Glenn, come correct. Let's not play games here. Let's talk the talk, right?
Yeah, because
that one I felt like was a clear signal, right? Like it was a clear message.
Yeah, because these guys... they want that if they want their quarterback, because if there's any position where that fifth year option is most valuable, it's certainly quarterback with the way they get paid to have a guy. If he's successful on that fifth year it definitely jumps. I think Lamar made like 21 or 23 million in his fifth year because he had an MVP and he had all these accolades. So that's a big jump, but it's still nothing compared to what he's getting paid now in his full contract. So yeah, I love that. I think they do want to add picks, but I don't think they just want to add picks at any round. I think they want to add picks they talked about in specific rounds where they can get a specific, maybe a specific guy or a specific group of guys and they can choose from. Because I think if they trade back in the later rounds, Jimbo, that just tells us that they don't like any of the guys that are available. So,
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if they end up trading out of that spot. Something's telling me that they're not gonna after.
Yeah. So the one thing that Eric said today was, I might have mentioned already. I'm trying to remember word for word, but he basically just said, we have to figure out our guys between. I don't know what the range was he gave, but between within the numbers that fall their first and second round pick. And where they are, where we can get them, right? So my point in saying that is like that to me was like, okay, if they can get their guy at 30, but they also can get their guy at 36, based on the range that they believe to be correct, then I'm sure that they'll move out. But also, if at the same time, if their guy's there and they don't like the other guys that are left on the board. They don't care if it looks like a reach, even if in their head they could have got him at 38. Like they're not going to push back, take the chance, and then be left with a cupboard of guys that they don't like. It has to be guys, not just guys that people value, guys that they like. you know, in those later picks. And so, you know, I don't think they really care if other people see it as a reach, right? No. Like, I think some people might have thought that Linderbaum was a reach. A first round center is kind of a not a thing. As good as he was, you know, graded, still, it's kind of not a thing, but they liked him there and they took him there. So anyway, that made me think that I think I agree with you right now. I think they're probably going to stick and pick.
Yeah, unless it falls perfectly and the compensation is just too much to deny. But they also asked him about the cornerback class. And Jimbo, tell me I'm crazy, but all this talk made me think they're taking a daggone corner in the first round. Because he said that he called this year's cornerback class a solid class, but not at the level of wide receiver offensive line. So specifically said that this position is not as good as these other two that are really good. And he said, and this is a quote, he said, definitely some players who could come in and compete to start for us. We would love to add a talented cornerback at some point in the draft. That's a position that you typically never have enough due to injury and different things. Guys will break down through the course of the season. Depth is always challenged in the secondary, and this last year was no exception. End quote. And it just got me thinking, man, anytime he starts talking, oh, we could add a depth guy, and we could, it's a solid one, but it's not as good as this other position. It makes me think, your guy's getting drafted here in the first round, Jimbo. He's coming. Cooper. And look, Warren Sharp, who, by the way, I respect the hell out of Warren Sharp on Twitter. That guy,
just for his mustache alone.
I mean, his flavor saver is pretty epic. But he also seems to, I mean, really absorb a lot of football knowledge and then kick it back out in a way I can understand it. And
yeah,
his most recent mock, Jimbo, Cooper DeJean, number 30.
Dude, I'm telling you, when it happens.
When it happens,
you watch. You just like John said. I agree with you in that. I think so. Eric did a little bit of a smokescreen there, right? Also, he let a little bit out. If you know Eric, in my opinion, in that, like what you said is true. So if the class, the way that I see it, is that when he talks about good, what he means is not just talent, top end talent, but depth. Those two things are part of his equation. So he could. He also said there's some guys that can contribute, aka there's talent, but it's just thin. As I think, the way that I translated his message. So that means that if there's corners, like you said, he's already got a whole list of wide receivers and O linemen he feels good about later. There's a corner sitting there. He's gonna take him because once again, it's about guys he likes. I took that away today, and I felt like that was an important part of what he's saying. Even if there's corners that are graded well, if he doesn't like them, he doesn't want to sit there and have picks and a laundry list of guys he doesn't like.
Right.
What's the point of the picks if you don't like the guys?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, dude, I'm with you, man. I think this kid's the real deal. I think he's next level athletic. I think he's a competitor. I think to Eric's point, because he's such an incredible athlete, I think he comes in day one, and I don't think he's going to be overwhelmed with the adjustment in the NFL athlete because – he's already a top flight athlete, you know, so, and he's physical. He does his job. We know the Ravens like Iowa. We've had a lot of success, albeit offensive linemen.
Oh, Geno Stone.
Geno
Stone.
Best
seventh round pick in the history of our franchise.
There you go. Absolutely. Wasn't, I guess I would, I don't know. Sam Cook. Was he was a sixth rounder, wasn't he?
I think he was a sixth rounder.
Yeah. So you're probably right. But anyway, either way, I'm calling it, man. Calling it. I just want it noted though that I said this before him. Right? Is that fair?
Okay, that's fair. I'll let you have that.
Let the public know. Let it be known.
Yeah.
That I said it first.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's all that matters, right? Is that you said it first before everyone. That's the most important thing.
Most important. If you guys don't take away anything else today, it's
that's right. Just that. That's it. That's it. And I saw that they talked about after corner, they talked about wide receiver and they talked about Lamar and his input. And they said, let's see here. This is the quote from, I think, John. We talked right after the season about the type of guy and the type of role that he thought would fit. We were all on the same page with that part, but it doesn't always work out that way. So Lamar has been tasked over the text world with a couple of assignments. So we'll see what he likes. He looks at guys on tape and he's never been shy about giving his opinion. Were you at all surprised to hear that? I mean, this guy's looking at tape of, like, to me, that kind of surprised me that this guy's been, they're sending Lamar tape about guys, and he's supposed to watch this and give his.
Does it surprise you that they would ask him to do that, or that he would actually do, like, what part of it surprises you?
Both.
Well,
I mean, I would understand if he goes, here, these are some, this is the type of guy I want. Like, I want a guy that can do this. I want a guy, I feel like we've been missing a guy that can go out, you know, win on the outside or any whatever it is. But the fact that he's actually studying tape and giving feedback, that surprises me.
Well, let me ask you this. If this was something they said Tom Brady did, would it surprise you?
Maybe not in year 15 or 20, but yeah, early on. I mean, I still feel like he's still a relatively younger guy.
Yeah, well, certainly he only texts in the offseason.
Yeah, so he's definitely
John's
young.
Like in the text world. Like, John, you sound so old, John. Like, look, I'll be straight up with you guys. I don't text Glenn that often. I usually just pick up the phone and call him. Like, I'm old school for sure.
That's right. But, when he's running.
That's true. Two things at once. The other thing is that I would, if I were Lamar, I want to see the guys. Like, I can understand this logic if I'm the player. Like, I want to be a hand in. I want to be a seat. I want to have a seat at the table when I'm going to pick the, you know, when I'm picking out the guys, when you guys are picking out the guys I'm playing with, I absolutely.
Is it only quarterback? Like, do you think they would ever go to Roquan and ask him to look at tape of a potential linebacker to play next to him?
Yes.
Or is it only quarterback? Okay. All right.
I think Roquan would, I would.
Well, Roquan probably watches tape.
As I was going to say,
to sleep.
He probably has a list already, right, that he's handed in with full-on reports, right? He's the kid that, like, is supposed to write a one-page essay and comes into school with a folder. You know what I mean? He's like, here's my essay, coach. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I'm not reading all this.
All right. Yeah, exactly. Long. Here, just give you an A. I think it's cool. So I guess I'm not surprised because Lamar's got to have a seat at the table, right?
Yeah, man. I just didn't think film study was a part of his off season, but I mean, I love to hear it.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty cool. But man, they're actually sending this guy film, and he's checking it out. And it'll be interesting to see. I guess we'll never truly know if it's. I mean, unless they divulge the information, if it's a guy that he said this is my guy, and I want the Ravens to take him, and how much that weighs on the room. But yeah, it'll be. It's interesting.
DK said he's probably watching highlights.
Hey, that's fine. You can still glean a lot from highlights.
Yeah,
you certainly can't put a full scouting report off of highlights, but I think you can get a good feel for a guy.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But I also wanted to address, they talked about, I'm sorry, I just missed that. Oh, yeah, that was the whole quote. Okay. Eric DaCosta was asked about Trenton Simpson. And he talked about filling the role of Patrick Queen, which is, of course, a big hole in Look, that's a lot of snaps you have to replace. Someone's got to play those snaps that Patrick Queen, and he played a lot of them. So his quote about Trenton Simpson was, first of all, Trenton is going to have a great season. He's got a great attitude, and I think he grew as much as anybody this year. It's tough for young players, but he showed up on special teams, and when he played on defense, he showed up on some plays late in the year. He's got a lot of talent. I mean, he's as talented as any inside linebacker in this year's draft class, for sure. So we're excited about him. And I guess sometimes we, as fans, we get a bit short-sighted when there's picks, and we try and look at what can they do to help me now. But, man, could this Trenton Simpson pick end up being, I mean, one of those absolute gems from last season? Well, yeah, he didn't contribute a ton and is a rookie, but he exploded on the scene in his sophomore season, taking over for a pretty important piece that's missing.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an opportunity for that. It's just such a wild card to me. I don't know if somebody knows more than me, but it's really going to come down to what we see in camp, you know, like what he puts out there, what the reps look like. And then obviously I think Roquan's going to be a big piece in helping bring him along, But I think we'll know early on what the coaches feel about him and kind of what his season will end up looking like. I think those answers will be given early on. I'm hopeful. The kid's got he's got the athleticism. Mm-hmm. He's got all the talent.
Apparently he's got a great attitude.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes you know, Adafe is like a Greek god, right? And like it's just tough. It's just tough. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so anyway, what I'm trying to say is I'm hopeful about Simpson and I think he's got all the opportunity. Is he prepared and does he get it done? We'll see.
Now, DaCosta also talked about inside linebacker and that maybe he doesn't have that bona fide like top 10 guy, mm-hmm. but has some pretty good depth in the middle rounds. Do you think, because they got not only Trenton Simpson, but they also got some other young guys. I know they brought back Chris Board, but mm-hmm. primarily for his special teams help, but they also have who's that young guy who burst on the scene as an undrafted guy and he's been on the team now
from Michigan, Josh something.
Ross. So they got some talent, but do you think that they'll add at some point, even if it's very end of the draft, add to the room?
I could see it for sure. Mm-hmm. I could definitely see that, especially if like DK is talking about this in our chat as well. I mean, the value, right? Like Eric is all about the value. Mm-hmm. And so, I think that, could you imagine really quickly, DK is in real estate, not to put his business on Front Street, but could you imagine it being in a home transaction with Eric DaCosta? God, you imagine the amount of data he would bring to every meeting.
That's right.
Like, dude, can your wife said she likes the neighborhood. Like, is that good enough?
Is that good enough?
Like, Eric, how much, like, what financially, what's the impact of what, how much equity do I have in this home? What, you know what I mean? Like, dude, okay, we get it. Anyway, but it's just going to come down to the value there. And I kind of want to kick a question back to you. He kind of had some of the same thoughts about the running back room, but then he also said, I think if I'm not mistaken, he said we will be taking a running back in the middle to late rounds.
Well, he said that there's probably a pretty strong chance that we'll draft a running back.
Maybe I just translated it as we will in my head, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely made it seem like there's a very high likelihood. But again, this is, I mean, who knows what this means? This could mean.
And I think that more has to do with the Keaton injury, right? In your opinion?
Oh, if Keaton was healthy, we wouldn't even be talking about.
Yeah, we'd have a Super Bowl ring, maybe.
That's a good point. He could have been that valuable of a piece last
year. Yeah, especially in that game.
Yeah, anyway, but if you have a healthy Keaton Mitchell with Justice Hill and of course King Henry at the lead mm-hmm. there, you don't even talk about it. But with that being said, do you I look at running back, I think they'll fill it as more of an undrafted guy.
That's what I was thinking. Like, why draft a guy if we've had success in undraft? The guys we've drafted, like, who was the kid that we took? That was exciting.
He went to Denver and then he was out of the league. Beatty, yeah. And then we drafted J.K. Dobbins. I don't know if we can necessarily call that a second-round success. Of course, not to his fault or the Ravens' fault. Had bad luck. But to your point, they seemingly had, I mean, Gus Edwards, Keaton Mitchell, a little bit mm-hmm. more luck as the undrafted than they have drafted. But you do got to give them a little credit. They drafted Justice Hill, and he's stuck around for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm.
I think mm-hmm. he was a fourth-round guy, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So you think more undrafted, not late round? Or any chance if in their minds the best running back in the draft falls to them at 63, do they take him?
No.
No chance. Not after Derrick Henry, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Did you hear this crazy stat? This is I think this is correct. DK, fact check me on this. I think they said this on the McAfee show or on who's the – he's on Roku now. Eisen, Rich Eisen?
Oh, okay, yeah.
That in their career, Jim Harbaugh had more rushing yards than Bo Jackson.
No way. Because of his career.
DK, look that up.
Jim Harbaugh was never a mobile guy.
I'm just saying, look, it was some crazy stats that I was like, what?
I tell you, I saw a wild stat today, and this is completely off topic, but you know, in his first two starts, Cam Newton threw for over 400 yards, and then he never did it again.
Oh, shut up. I knew about the first. Never did it again?
Never did it again. Did it first two starts and never did it again.
Wow.
This is weird sports stats, man, that pop up.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, baseball's full of crazy ass stats. Let's see, because you're shorting it up. What? How many yards total, DK? I need a total. What are we talking? I didn't know Jim had some scurry in him. I didn't know
because they were giving Jim a hard time. They were like, Jim Harbaugh, believe it or not, used to be the swaggiest quarterback in the NFL.
Dude, I had no idea he had wheels. I didn't know that. I got to imagine. I mean, would it Bo last a year? Like what?
2,782 yards for Bo Jackson in his career.
Dude, I'm shocked to hear that Jim went over that, dude.
Wild, right?
That's insane.
I know. Even with, I know, of course, everyone brings up the hip and stuff like that, but it's Bo Jackson.
I thought one good year from him would be Jim's entire career. Like, what's Tom Brady played for 20-some years. What's his career
like scrambling? Five.
I mean, he's picked up some crucial first downs in his career, but it can't be. And he also played for 22 years. So it's got to be just a cumulative. It's got to end up being a pretty
decent number. Tom Brady, 1,123.
All them years, and he's still, Jim doubled him up in rushing.
Dude, telling you.
I had no idea, dude. This guy can boogie, bro.
Yeah, man. Wild stuff. Jim was a scrambler, DK saying. He was scrambling for his life is what he was doing. When you're running for your life. Anyway, that was a ridiculous sidebar, but I thought that was crazy. Crazy statistic when I heard that. I was like, what on earth?
Yeah, that's an odd one.
But
I wanted to put up, hang on, I wanted to put, there we go. Man, he's always one. I love it. Asmodeus says, feel like you are underrating the work Lamar puts in. He gets vastly better year over year, not just in mechanics, but also reading defense. Ooh. Also, dim sum. What dim is that? Sum.
It's good. It's Chinese, correct, DK? It's a Chinese dish. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I think we were talking about that last time from Asmodeus.
It's bomb.
Certainly appreciate. Oh, no, he was talking. What was the other thing he was talking about? Pho or something?
Oh, pho.
Pho. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he was talking about that. But appreciate the generosity. And as always,
dude, Asmodeus has gone to the eastern part of the world. And discovered a whole new palette.
He loves it.
He's going from pho to dim sum. Yeah, man.
I don't think we underrate Lamar's efforts.
No, I think maybe you misinterpreted what we were saying. I think Glenn was a little surprised that.
Did he watch his film of potential college draft picks? Yeah. That's the part that shocks me. Not that he watches film or puts in work in the offseason. Just the fact that he's watching guys that chances are you get how many guys. You only got 9 picks, so chances are we're not going to get our guy. So it's just
unless you're me, you're not going to get it right. So
exactly, not everybody's Jimmy Haskell the Rascal, but no, I was just surprised that Lamar was tasked with watching college film.
Like, who do you think blows my mind? Who do you think went to who? Do you think they went to Lamar? Or do you think Lamar went to them?
That's a good question. I think
Lamar went to them for real, and just said, "Hey, I want to watch these guys." If you got a list of guys that you like, I want to see who they are and then take a look at them.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, I just figure, man, he's just puts in, they put their whole lives during the football season. There is nothing else but football. There's no days off. Like, it's all football. So I just figured this part of the year, man, get your mind away from football for a little bit. But I love to hear that he's participating. I think that's pretty freaking cool.
You have more empathy than me. Towards their life balance. Dude, baseball is a different thing.
Their life balance sucks, though.
Dude, I hate when football players talk about travel. Dude, it's 8 weeks a year, bro.
Yeah, but it's not even the travel. What day do they have? When are they off?
Aren't they off like every Monday and Tuesday in the season? And then they like walk through on Wednesday?
I don't think they're completely off. Are they? They're like at home chilling?
Oh, Mondays they're for sure off.
I thought they still do meetings and all that stuff. They just don't practice. But I could be wrong.
Dude, I feel for baseball players just because of the travel, man.
Oh, dude,
that's a whole different thing. Don't talk.
Imagine the minor leaguers that have to bus it everywhere.
But like when I hear guys that are like, "Oh, we got a lot of travels here," dude. I travel more than 8 weeks a year.
Oh, for sure.
Like, don't complain to me about your travel, dude.
Yeah, and they're also traveling the best you can travel.
Yeah, but like, baseball, man, I feel it. Even the NBA, I still, you get
NHL.
Yeah, same. But football, it's like, bro, come on. At least from the travel perspective, I understand your point where it's like sun up to sundown, but Yeah, and you do want some time down. But I'm glad. I mean, I think that it's good for him. I think it's good for the team. I think ultimately it's really good for the team because Lamar knows what he's looking for. He knows what he wants.
Mm-hmm. It makes you feel like more of a cohesive unit rather than two separate units, the front office and the team.
And Lamar, I think, can also be honest with himself and know, hey, this guy fits with what I'm good at. And this guy fits, you know, doesn't fit with what I'm good at, even though you guys see him as a good player. Mm-hmm. I know me. I know what I can do. I know what type of situations we're going to be in. So, you know, maybe knock him down a couple pegs on your board or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's crucial. I think it's a great advantage. I think they should stick to it and keep doing it. So I hope he gets back to him, and I hope it's valuable insight. I hope he takes it seriously because I think it's going to really benefit him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, I want to get back to the presser, and I got to get your opinion. Maybe I kind of felt like a jerk when I was thinking about this earlier, but I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, they asked John about Malik Cunningham, and he was spotted playing some wide receiver towards the end of the season. But when he got brought over, Malik himself said he wanted to come here because the Ravens still view him as a quarterback, and that's the part of his game he wants to develop and not necessarily change positions because of his athleticism. But when asked about it, John did say it remains to be seen. We're going to take a look at him and see how he does. That's definitely he's definitely developmental as a quarterback. He's developmental as a wide receiver too. But he's a good athlete and person. Do you look at Malik Cunningham? And this is where I might have been a jerk. I don't look at Malik Cunningham. I don't count on him to do anything ever for the Ravens. And anything he gives us would be a cherry on top. Like, I'm not looking at Malik Cunningham like, wow, hope that guy turns out. Like,
yeah, because, well, no, I mean, it's not a jerk thing. I think it's just, obviously, if he comes on the field, it's going to be because Lamar's hurt. And so anything he can do, it's you know, it's all going to be a bittersweet thing. Even if he goes off and has some incredible ride, like he's not going to, I mean, unless you're saying they're going to play him a wide receiver, but chances are he's going to be a quarterback if your quarterback. But
Josh Johnson was announced as the
backup, right? Like they re-signed Josh Johnson. So I don't think under any good circumstance you're going to be Malik Cunningham. So I can see what you're saying. I don't know if,
like, why are we even talking about Malik Cunningham? I guess was my main question. Like, why are they asking that question? And not how many O-tackles do you see? Like,
right. Dude, the questions.
I don't get this question. Like,
well, and a lot of the guys, just the questions in total, I didn't feel like some of them were good. Other ones were like, eh. Like, I want to hear again. Okay, tell me, break down to me what you're looking at when you're looking at a tackle. What are the indicators for you? Oh, I like this because of this. I don't like this because of this. Like, can you get any, like, I think Eric would get a little specific.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. Like, I want to know.
Might what slip is, up.
Yeah, what is it that you're looking at when you're trying to figure out their background, right? What kind of indicators do you have? What kind of research are you doing? Stuff like that. I don't know.
Asmodeus says, they asked about Malik, but not Mitchell. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I see DK saying, look, Josh Johnson's 37 years old. He's not going to be the backup forever, and I certainly understand that, but. Like, I don't know. I don't think Malik's going to ever be a starter, even if a scenario happens where Lamar's hurt. I don't look at Malik as a starter here, even in that scenario.
Didn't Joe Flacco get a contract somewhere?
I think he did. Yeah. It's not with the Browns.
Yeah.
But yeah,
DK's like, they're looking for a cheaper Tyler Huntley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair.
Hey, look, that 37 isn't as bad when you haven't taken as many hits as a typical 37-year-old quarterback. You know, he's more like 33. You know what I mean? He's got a young body. That didn't sound right. That's not what I meant to come out sounding like. But you know what I mean. He doesn't have a lot of wear and tear, okay? He's been a backup his whole life.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, Claire.
You good, bro?
I'm exhausted. My son's going through a ridiculous sleep regression right now. I'm feeling it. Because the last thing I'm going to do is make my wife, who's 5 days over her due date, get up out of bed to go help my son.
Dude, just tell him to pull himself up by the bootstraps and figure it out himself, bro.
I do a little bit of that, for real. But I
figure it out, Henry.
I have to, like by the second time I go in there, I'm like, all right, Henry, this is the deal. I'm going to sit here for 2 minutes and I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to bed.
And that's all you get. That's it.
Yeah, that's all you get. And it's funny because sometimes he'll like start crying when I walk out the door, and then I'll be like, Henry, I'm going to bed. And he'll be like, okay, dada. Like, he's like thinking, like, do I fight this one?
Yeah, like, can I get him to stay a little? No, he's had enough. He's had enough. Hey, I heard DaCosta talk about that Bisciotti's had this idea. It's called the Bisciotti Reign of Terror. Where every time, typically when you trade a pick, the next if you trade it for a next year pick, you get one round better. And so Bisciotti, I think, has this thing he'd like to do where he'll trade a seventh for a sixth 1 year, and then next year trade that sixth for a fifth, and then go on and so forth all the way till you can turn a second into a first. Do you ever see that becoming a possibility where the Ravens could...
Yeah, I wish he wouldn't
have
said it, Eric.
I know. Now he spoiled it, dude. Come on, Eric.
I know.
You ruined it, bro. But no, I do find it... interesting that that's just the agreed upon thing, that if I trade you a fourth this year, it's for a third next year. Like, that's just, it's a one round increase every year. I guess that makes sense, but would you like to see the Ravens try and make this thing happen?
I think what you do is every year you just throw, I see it as like, I don't know if this is the right comparison, but it's like, life insurance probably isn't a good one. No, this is like penny stocks. Here we go. It's like penny stocks, right? So, you just throw a couple pennies in there. So every year, just take a seventh rounder and you trade them, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You trade the pick. Just do it every year and see where those end up. Just do it once a year. Whatever. Like, because what the heck? Yeah. I mean, how many Geno Stones are out there?
That's right. It's pretty rare. It's absolutely. I just wonder about that, getting over the finish line. Getting that two into a one ain't easy. You know, that's not an easy one. You have to sweeten the pot a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But it would, Adam, it's like Bitcoin. Bitcoin.
Yeah. That's also terrifying to me.
Well,
that's absolutely terrifying. Although I have heard people do pretty well for themselves on old Bitcoin. but not me. I'm too cowardly. Far, far too cowardly. But yeah, I mean,
that's a whole different episode.
Only 30 minutes, I think, was the total time for the presser, which...
Yeah, our show was longer tonight than the presser itself.
Yeah, how did we do that, dude? But it didn't it used to be like an hour?
I felt like it used to be longer. Yeah. I don't know. My overall thoughts on the presser today were a few things. One, we're going to draft offensive linemen, plural. We're going to draft a wide receiver, at least, and I think there's a good chance we take a corner high. Those are my three takeaways for sure. And if you want to come knocking for 30, buck up.
That's right.
You know, because it's not going to just come to you for free. So, I also want to say something to Lisa as well. The trophy for the draft is at my house, Lisa.
Yeah, but the regular season trophy for our pick'em last year.
Uh-huh. The regular season trophy.
That's a larger sample size, Jimbo. Okay. All right. That's
why I'm
just like
calling you James Harden.
I like to look at the larger 17 game sample size rather than the 2 game little, you know.
James Harden over here.
Come on, man. Don't do that. Also, you can't bring up James Harden because remember, somebody was they're starting to try and make Lamar the James Harden of the NFL. Yeah, dude.
But James Harden doesn't care.
Regular season performers, what they're trying to call him. So look, don't bring up James Harden, okay? Because I'm not here for the Lamar slander.
That's crazy because Peyton Manning didn't even do anything real in the playoffs till he was in his 30s, right? Didn't even Michael Jordan not do it? He didn't win his first playoff series till he was 30.
Best Detroit, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, stop with that. Because the thing about, anyway, I'm convinced James Harden cares more about personal accolades than he does about winning basketball games.
Certainly now, yeah.
And hanging out with rappers and eating cheeseburgers.
He's more into fashion than basketball at this point.
And burgers.
He's always been a little thick.
No, he has, but he's been in excellent shape, and he's also been one shape, and that's round. Man, I'm terrible. I'm not a good person. I just need to stop. I'm making a resolution, mid-quarter year resolution. I need to stop talking. But, like, dude, if you're a professional athlete, I tell you what, if I was a GM and you walked in looking like a doughboy, you better get the hell out of my facility.
I mean, I hear you, but he had
– better put the trash bag suit on and do some laps.
He had that same physique when he was absolutely lighting the NBA up in Houston for those years.
I think he was a little – he was bigger in the shoulders, smaller in the gut.
Maybe a little bit. You know. But yeah, I mean that's pretty much our reaction, our recap,
and more. We got some bonus footage tonight
of the Liars luncheon. We still got, let's see, is the 25th? I think is the draft.
Yeah, something like that.
So we got like 16 days out. So we still got more to talk about. We still have yet to do our seven.
Yeah, we still got to do our mock draft and all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited. Make sure you guys hang out with us. And I guess that's it for us tonight.
Is that a type of food too?
I don't know.
Because it's Asmodeus and he's been flexing the food lately.
I don't get it. Bug that you stay your Jimmy.
I don't know what that means either.
I mean, sorry, Asmodeus. I'm not that smart, bro.
Nah, but we certainly appreciate
we appreciate it.
The generosity, as thank always, you, and man. The support and watching.
Yep.
And like Adam said, guys, hit the like button. It helps us so much more than you guys might think just to simply hit that like button. And we certainly appreciate Adam letting you guys know. Tanja, as always, appreciate you joining us. J-Dub, you're the best. Adam, appreciate you. BP's always out here. So is Gideon. Blitzbacker, what's going on? I don't recognize that name. So I appreciate
you. New and a contributor in the chat. Look, Asmodeus is saying no resolution. I should just keep at it.
That's it.
Just look, I'm not against it. I ran outside with a shirt on today looking like a Pillsbury Doughboy. I'm just a chubby dude out there running with no shirt on. But you know what?
You had no shirt on?
No shirt. It was way too hot for a shirt.
Okay. All right. Well, when you run your races, you wear a shirt, right?
I'm not anymore. My last race, I didn't wear a shirt.
What about a sunburn, Jimbo?
Oh, dude, got sunscreen.
All right. Okay. All
right. Yeah.
You get the back? You get the back?
Oh, dude, Tanya takes a paint roller.
Okay, good. All right, because, I mean, if you're anything like me, the sun does not love us, and at least initially, until we get that base. Laying the base. But thank you, guys. Everyone I didn't mention, I appreciate your participation and viewership, and we will be back sometime soon. See you.
See ya.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.